Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and gel pens in every color. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word. Welcome to today's podcast. We're going to be talking about a subject that is very dear to me. We're talking about hope. And not just the kind of, I hope it gets better, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, I hope I get an A on my test next week. Not that kind of hope. We're talking about the hope that settles in your soul with a surety and confidence, because the hope is in something that will last. We're going to talk about some people who lost their hope and how it was restored to them. And I hope that this story, as we discuss this passage of scripture, I hope it encourages you today. I hope that it helps you set aside your misplaced hope and put your hope in the right place. Before we get to that, though, I want to mention briefly that we have a contest going over on my Instagram page. I am giving away something kind of fun. I'd like to spread the word about the Bible Girl scripture writing that we do each month. This month, currently, we're taking a look at some of my favorite verses in the book of Psalms. I would love for so many people to participate in this. It's such a good discipline, and it's such a great doable discipline. It's not something that requires a huge amount of your time. I think it's one of those things that anybody could do, but it's going to give you a real taste of scripture and an understanding of it as you begin to meditate on it as you write. And I think it's powerful. So I want more people to be participating. I want to get the word out about it. And I hope this contest will help, and I hope you will help. So what you can do is you can go over to my Instagram, my account on Instagram. I am Jessie L. Robinson, and the Jessie is just with an I. There's no E at the end. So it's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N, all one word, Jessie L. Robinson. And that's my username on all social media. If you're looking for me somewhere else, whether you're looking on Facebook or Pinterest or Goodreads or Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, I'm at Jessie L. Robinson on pretty much any social media that I'm at. So you can find me there. If you go over to Instagram, you'll see a post that I've posted a picture of the prize, and the rules are in that post, and you'll want to follow them. Couple of quick things. First of all, this contest is only open to those with a U.S. address. You do not have to live in the United States to win, but I need to be able to mail the prize package to a U.S. address. So maybe you have family living in the United States and you could ship it to them, or a friend. You could, if you can give me their address here in the States, I would be willing to ship it there. But I can't ship internationally. It's just really too expensive for me. And so I'm paying for this. None of this giveaway is sponsored by anyone. I'm purchasing and making all the supplies myself. So shipping it in addition is a little bit more than I have money for internationally. Sorry about that. I know I have some international listeners. It's not that I don't love you. It's just I can't afford to send it to you. Also, the prize, I just will briefly say there's a video on my Vimeo page where you can see an actual description, and I show you what you would win. But I'm giving away a traveler's notebook made out of fabric. They're often called fedoris or fabradoris. I have a shabby style I kind of make with unfinished edges, and I make these for myself a lot, and I'll be making one for you. I have, if you win, I have four different fabric styles you can choose from, and I will make that for you, custom made to whichever of those patterns and colors that you like. And then in addition to that, you're going to get one insert to put inside of it from the Yellow Paper House on Etsy. I use their inserts pretty exclusively. I really like the stuff they have, and they've got some great stuff, and they'd be perfect for you to use for your Bible Girl scripture writing, or maybe for some Bible study notes, or as a prayer book. I've recently taken one and turned it into a prayer notebook, and I have a picture posted of one of my pages on Instagram that I just posted on Monday. You can check that out and kind of see what that insert looks like. You'll be able to pick out whatever style of insert that you would like from them. Also, you'll be getting a pack of Pilot Juice pens, which are these really cool gel pens in lots of different colors. I have a 12-pack for you. You know that nothing could come from Bible Girl without some cool gel pens in different colors. And you'll also be getting a little 4x6 photo book. I will design a cover for you with your favorite Bible verse on. I have a couple little designs I'm working on. It'll be something pretty, and then we'll put your favorite Bible verse in there. And inside of it, we'll have the scripture writing list all the way up through May. So they'll have January through May. And you should get May's a little earlier than everyone else does, which will be a little extra bonus. You'll also find in there some prayer cards and some Bible study tips and sheets and things that I've made and handed out for various classes I've taught. They'll all be tucked inside of there, and you'll get a Dropbox link where you can print out additional copies in the future should you need them. So this is a great prize package, and I would hope that you would want to head over there and enter. The contest runs until the 10th of April, which is this Sunday. It ends at 11:59, and I will pick a winner sometime on Monday and notify the winner by 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Now, one other thing I want to mention, I really want to get the word out about this. I'd like to have a lot of people not only enter the contest, but to start getting those scripture lists. So please feel free to post this on your own social media and promote the contest, and also promote it on your other social media. Maybe you're in some Facebook groups that you'd like to tell some people about, or maybe on your own Facebook pages or Instagram pages. Just get the word out. Let people know about it so that we can have a good number of people try. And the more people that find out about the scripture list, the more people we will have doing the scriptures and being changed by the word of God. So let's get that out there. And I thank you for your help. Now, to tackle our topic for today, I want to start out by just saying that I'm not a huge poetry fan. I've been through periods of my life where I've kind of delved into poetry and have enjoyed some of it. But poetry requires a level of introspection that I like, but I can't keep up. I can't do poetry all the time because it requires a lot of thinking and meditating on things. And sometimes I just really like a good story. But occasionally there have been poems in my life that have really spoken to me. The very first poem I ever memorized on my own when I was in elementary school and junior high and high school, I had to memorize poetry as part of my schooling. But the first poem I chose to memorize was a little one-sentence poem. It was four lines, made one sentence, called Faith by John Greenleaf Whittier, where he says, "Nothing before, nothing behind. The steps of faith fall on the seeming void and find the rock beneath." And I've always just loved that image of faith stepping out, and there's nothing that looks like it's before you and nothing behind. And you just step out and there's a rock there to hold you. And that is such a beautiful definition of faith that I memorized that poem years ago. I also have memorized some poems from Martha Snell Nicholson, who is a Christian poet and has some beautiful poems. Her poem Treasures is especially poignant if you get a chance to look at that. Robert Louis Stevenson, I've always been a fan of his. In fact, his book, one of his early poetry books, I can't think of the title now. It has something north in it. I read in its entirety. It was the first poetry book I read from beginning to end. The Road Not Taken is a beautiful poem, and part of it is actually painted on my wall in my hallway in my house. And Stopping Going Woods on a Snowy Evening, they're all such great poems. But there's one poem that has captured my heart from the first moment I heard it, and that is the Emily Dickinson's poem about hope. I'm going to read it to you because we're going to talk about hope today. And she writes, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me." In this poem, she's reminding us that hope comes to bloom in the darkest of times, in the chillest land and on the strangest sea. Hope can be found. Hope is the one thing that we cannot lose. If we lose our hope, it seems as if a part of our soul has died. I've been in places where I've nearly lost hope. I've been in situations and circumstances in my life where I have had no hope that God would come through in the way I thought he should, no hope that things would work out the way I thought was right, no hope that things would be resolved. I have lived in situations where all hope seemed lost. And I know it's a dark place when you reach those moments. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, it's the story of two men who are in that same place, who have lost their hope. I'm going to read you this passage. I don't normally read a passage this long, but I want to read this account, and I want you to hear the darkness in their hearts and their desperation, their utter lack of hope that they have found themselves in this moment, and how Jesus meets them and restores their hope and puts it in the right place. And after I read it, I want to unpack it a little bit because there's so many powerful things in this passage. I will say it's one passage of scripture that I learn something new every time I study it. Every time I dig into it, there's some nuance that I pick up on that I hadn't picked up on before. So let's take a look at this. We're in Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to start reading in verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Now, this is taking place. I just want to give you a little time and place for what they're talking about and what very day it's being referred to. This is the day of the resurrection. That morning, the women went to the tomb to finish anointing Jesus' body after the Sabbath. And they get there and the stone is rolled away and Jesus is gone. And the angel says he's risen. And the women run back and tell the disciples, and they come and they search and they cannot find Jesus' body. And it's at this point that these men leave to go to Emmaus. Now, we don't know really why they're going to Emmaus. I think a lot of supposition is that the Passover is now over and they are headed back maybe to home. Maybe they lived in Emmaus. People would have come into Jerusalem at that time to be with family, to be with friends, to celebrate Passover in the city of Jerusalem, in David and Solomon's glorious city of Jerusalem, is what was left of it. They would have been there together with family, and they would have traveled back to their home when Passover was over. So it's possible, maybe, that these men lived there in Emmaus, but for whatever reason, they left. The disciples couldn't find the body, and these men moved on. They went to Emmaus, and while they're headed back on this 7-mile walk, they're talking about what had happened when Jesus had died. And it says in verse 15, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these last days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. What a beautiful story. As I read this, I want to ask you this question. Where is your hope? Where is your hope right now in this moment, in the circumstances that you're facing? What are you hoping in? These men had lost their hope. It says, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." I find it funny that as they say that in this moment, he already had. Jesus' blood redeemed everyone who would call upon his name and believe in him. His death, his burial, his resurrection had already accomplished the redemption of the world. What they had been hoping for had already been done. They were unaware of it. They were unaware of it because their hope was somewhere different. Most of the Jewish people at this time were waiting for a Messiah that would return them to their former glory. They wanted to go back to the life of David and Solomon when they were a nation to be feared and reckoned with, where they weren't forced to serve under an oppressive regime like the Romans. Throughout the fall of Jerusalem, as various nations began, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, eventually Rome, took control of Jerusalem and its people, they had this hope that their Redeemer one day would come and he would put their nation back on its feet again and would give them back their national pride and heritage and their glory of the days of David and Solomon. But that was not his job. In fact, his job, when Jesus came to this earth, his task was to go beyond Jerusalem, to go beyond Rome and Greece, to the uttermost parts of the earth, and ransom every single person who would call upon his name and trust him. Their hope was in something Jesus was never going to do. Their hope was in something else. Their hope was in political might. Their hope was in rescue from their everyday circumstances. Their hope was in a warrior who would take them out of oppression. That was where their hope was. And so their hope needed to die. Because our only hope in this world, in any circumstance or anything you face, is Jesus. The hymn, an old hymn that we sang when I was a kid, "The Solid Rock, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." There is nothing else but the blood of Jesus that can contain our hope, that can fulfill it. The only thing is Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross, and it had already been done. The hope was already alive and had been fulfilled by the time they express their dismay over the fact that their hopes were gone. You know, God always thinks bigger than we do. In fact, we're often satisfied with crumbs, and God wants to give us a feast. In Tim Keller's book, The Song of Jesus, he mentions this quote, and I have written it down. He's one of the wisest men I've ever listened to or read. If you're not familiar with Timothy Keller, you should definitely check out some of his books. This little devotional book on Psalms called The Songs of Jesus has been so inspiring and so helpful to me. And in it, he says, God is not asleep, but he won't be rushed. God is not asleep. When we lose our hope, it doesn't mean that God is not working. It probably means that our hope is in something other than God. What we have to do is put our hope in the right place. And Jesus does this with them. In fact, you know, he says, "You don't get it. You don't understand all of the things the prophet said. What you're clinging to is wrong." It says in verse 27, he started with Moses. And it says all the prophets. And those of you who have read the Old Testament know there's a lot of them. And he interprets to them everything in the Old Testament that was concerning himself and how it came true during this time that he walked on the earth. He turned their hope back to where it belonged. This was God's plan all along. I am your hope. Not hope that things will get better. Not hope that I will take away your pain or that I will take away your trouble here on this earth, but hope that I have fixed everything for you. My blood shed for you is the only hope you have. It is the only hope you have in dark days. It is the only hope you have in good days. It is the only hope we have. I was thinking about this end of the passage when they realize it's Jesus, and then the moment they realize it, he's gone. Can you imagine their emotions at that moment? They started out the day in such dejection. And then they listen to this man who begins to talk about the scriptures in a way they hadn't understood before. So much so that they don't want to let him go. Stay with us. It's late. Just stay here. And he breaks the bread and he prays with them. He blesses it. And they see him for who he is and he's gone. And they turn to each other and they say, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? You know what that burning was? That was real hope. As he began to interpret the scriptures and they saw Jesus in light of who he really was, their hope burned anew and it came alive inside of them, and it was something they could not let go of. So much so that even in the dark of night, they got up and ran back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples what they had seen. There is real hope to be had out there. Not wishes, not this happy feeling in our heart that everything's just going to magically be okay. Real hope says, regardless of what happens, Christ's sacrifice on my behalf has given me a future beyond my wildest imagination. This is hope that burrows itself in deep and refuses to let go. And as long as we have our hope in him, it can never, never be taken away from us. So I ask you this, where are you putting your hope? Are you putting your hope in the fact that one day you might get a better paying job and be able to pay off all your debt? Or are you putting your hope in Christ, who will meet every need, regardless of whether you get the job or not? Are you putting your hope in a new house or a new car so that you can finally have the status that you need? Or are you putting your hope in Christ, who gives you your identity, and no one and no possession can make it better or worse than what Christ says it is? Are you putting your hope in the fact that some circumstance that is weighing you down will go away tomorrow because that's what you prayed for and asked God for? Or are you putting your hope in the fact that the God you serve has already done more for you than you could ever imagine, will walk with you through every step of every bad circumstance, and that you will come out the other end stronger, with more character, and closer to him, if you keep your hope in him? Where is your hope? It matters. It really matters where your hope is. It matters in your outlook in life. It matters what you do for Christ. It matters on how active you are for the kingdom. It matters in your relationship with him. Where is your hope? If it's in Jesus, if your hope is firmly entrenched in Christ, nothing can shake you. Nothing can take away your peace. Nothing can rob you of your joy. Nothing, no matter how bad, will ever separate you from him. That hope will stay. Visit my blog at BibleGirlPodcast.com, where you can email me, find links to my social media sites, and download show notes and printables. I love to hear from my listeners. Thanks for joining me today. Drop by again for another episode of Bible Girl.